The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hours live on a Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Let's update you on what is going on, not only tonight, but tomorrow. Kentucky playing Providence tonight, but many games are set in the second round. How about Duke and Tennessee? Does it get much better than that? Well, hold on a second. It may. Tomorrow is going to be one of the better days of the year ever in basketball. Kentucky plays tonight on the board, and they'll take on the winner of the next game there. How about Auburn and Houston? That is Houston's top player could be held out. Well, he won't be held out, but Sasser is a real problem with a groin injury. A lot of controversy about Kelvin Sampson's decision to play him in a know-nothing game yesterday. That's the early game in Birmingham tomorrow night. We'll show you the late game in a minute. Arkansas and Kansas, that is just a fantastic game. Can Musk do it again? He's been to two straight Elite Eights. He's going to have to beat the number one seed to get there. How about Bama and Maryland? That is the late game at Legacy Arena. 1 versus 8. One of the more eagerly anticipated games. What's up with Brandon Miller after being held scoreless? He also has a slight groin injury. And Mizzou and Princeton. Two Tigers playing. Neither was really thought to end up in this spot. A lot of brackets burst on that one. Let's get back to the calls here, and Greg is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
We are doing great.
Good. Now, I wanted to call in what the last caller was talking about, the Georgia quarterback. I've kind of been and that, first of all, I am not a Georgia fan for sure. I'm one of the biggest Alabama fans forever there's been, but I don't see why this guy's not going to get a real look either. Because, you know, a lot of people say it's size. Well, Bryce Young, he's as big as Bryce Young. He throws the ball as well as Bryce Young. I just don't know what he does. It's a whole lot less than the capability that Bryce has. Can you maybe explain that to me?
I think he's going to be one of the more difficult players to evaluate objectively. There's almost a negativity toward him before he starts. But I think I just don't hear any NFL scouts who are wowed by him. And ultimately, those are the people that make the decisions. It's not about what he did at Georgia. It's about what they think he can do. Now, Tom is up next in Florida. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
Tom, we are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to call in and give a shout-out to – he was my roommate in college at Auburn, was Phil Paramore.
Wow.
In fact,
that's pretty –
I'll give you a little story.
Please do.
I mean, I have many stories. I have many stories, but probably the best is he was dating a girl – and I ended up marrying her roommate because they introduced us. And that was like, well, I'll be married 42 years this year. And so Phil was best man in my wedding in Panama City. Because as you well know, Phil is from a little town in Ayrton, Alabama.
Right.
And we both got to Auburn in 78. I came in as a junior. He came in as a freshman. And we lived next to each other his first year, and then our second year, we were roommates there at, I think the name of it was Thunderbird Apartments is where we lived and everything. But I'm just sad to hear about Phil's passing. He got, a few years ago, he got to come up to, we were living in Indiana. He got to come up to the NCAA championships and we got to go to that together, the Final Four, and a lot of good memories. And I just wanted to give a good shout out to
him.
Well,
I'm really glad you shared that. Someone mentioned it earlier, and most people in Alabama know Phil, but there may be a couple outside. But he was really, when I say legendary, Tom, I'm not exaggerating. In that market, first with a newspaper column, and then later with what he did in radio. He was a legendary figure, and someone who I think did it about as well as anybody has ever done it in a market like that. And that's a pretty big market when you expand Dothan throughout the Wiregrass down there, Ozark. You almost touch the beach in some ways. I didn't get down there a lot, but when I got down there and had a chance to be with him, or when he would come up to an Alabama or Auburn game, I talked to him not that long ago about some of the things he was doing, and he was just a great friend for so many years.
Oh, you and me both. I mean, like I said, we got to go up about a year ago. We both got to go up to – I took him up to Auburn basketball game, picked – you know, I live here in Panama City Beach, so I picked him up on my way up right there and everything. And just, you know, just reminiscing about old times, you know, when we were in college and the good times. And, like, I remember when he first got to school and he's wearing two-toned, I don't know, blue jeans and afro hair. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know, and stuff like that. And he got a little more conservative, a little more preppy, as, you know, as college does, you know, wearing the coat and tie at the football games back in those days. So it was, we just had a good time. But it was interesting. He was dating a girl who her roommate ended up being my wife, and now we live in Panama City Beach.
Well, Tom, thank you for sharing it. I mentioned about 30 minutes ago, I heard from his brother, Michael, late last night about his passing. Thank you for sharing that with us. We really do appreciate your thoughts. Let's check out Robert in South Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Oh, hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey.
The esteemed Paul Feinbaum.
Thank you.
I just have a real quick question.
Okay.
We know, Georgia is the top dog, of course, and right now. And I've just heard some rumors that the NCAA is investigating them for some recruiting violations. I'm just trying to get, since you know the information of what's going on, is this legitimate, or is this all the rivals just, you know, causing a lot of trouble? Is there any substance to this, or what? I'm just trying to get some answers,
Robert,
here.
The answer to your question is I don't know if there's any substance to it, because I've never heard that before.
I'm sorry to even bother you.
Well, no.
But I was just on their internet, and they said, you know, it's probably real bogus, okay?
I don't think it's probably real bogus. I think it is real bogus. There's no evidence anywhere at all that Georgia is being investigated by the NCAA. And even if they were, it wouldn't matter, because the NCAA has no authority any longer. But that is complete and total news to me, and frankly, I don't think it's news. I think it's a made-up story. Rick is up next in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. How are you, sir?
We are doing great.
Well, Paul, I know the tournament's going on, and everybody's excited about that, but I'm pretty excited that SEC play and baseball got started last night, and my Tigers are going to roll into College Station tonight, and I believe they're going to roll out with winning all three games.
I believe we lead into that game here tonight. And, I mean, yeah, LSU looks to be stellar this year. It's pretty amazing what a quick turnaround it has been down there after a couple of down years. I mean, nothing terrible. I mean, LSU is a down year when you're not in the College World Series. That's how good things are, and it looks like they're about to be again. Let's head to the break. Stuart Mandel, the football editor-in-chief of The Athletic, is coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back here on St. Patrick's Day. Keeping up with the tournament, Kentucky taking on Providence in about 3 hours in Greensboro. Certainly some great games tomorrow, a couple of games going on right now, and more of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. It seems like every day, even though it isn't every day, there's another story about the future of the Pac-12 and their media rights deals, what it's going to mean. We had John Orand on a couple of days ago. Now Stuart Mandel, the editor of the college football platform on The Athletic, joining us about some reporting that he's been doing and some comments that he's been making. Stuart, thank you. I appreciate you taking time out from all the buzzer beaters to join us. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
We're doing okay. Even though basketball is at its peak, there's still a lot of football news, as you well know. So tell us what you have learned and think is happening or what could be happening with the Pac-12, the missing component in college sports these days.
I think the Pac-12 at long last is probably within a couple weeks of finally having a finalized TV deal. And I say that because after 8 months of not talking to us, presidents in the Pac-12 are finally talking on the record to reporters. I was able to talk to Robert Robbins, the Arizona's president. I did not realize the time I talked to him that he was going on a bit of a media tour, but his message has been that he's very confident that, you know, despite all the kind of negative that have been put out there over the last 8 months, that the Pac-12 is about to implode and all of these things. I'll just read this quote. None of us aspire to win a bronze medal, but I think we solidly got a bronze medal in this thing. I think we will have the third best TV deal out of the Power Five leagues. And, of course, that's significant because he is the president of one of the four schools that the Big 12 is trying to lure away. And if that happens, as he said, if it does end up that they get a pretty good TV deal that is at least equivalent to the Big 12, if not a little bit better, he predicted it'll be better, then those schools aren't going to have a reason to leave.
Yeah, that is really important because some people have just assumed it's a fait accompli that those guys are out of there. Why are they talking now, I guess maybe is my question, even though I know what he said, but why do this before you make the deal?
Your guess is as good as mine, but I don't think it's a coincidence because it wasn't just him. Michael Crow, Arizona State's president, did an interview with the student paper there. Utah's athletic director, first of all, had an ominous tweet, or ominous is not the right word, a revealing tweet recently. There was a story that had a really dire headline about the Pac-12, and he retweeted it and said, give me a break. He also did an interview on a radio station. I don't think these guys would be doing this if they didn't have some sort of indication that the number is going to be at least this. Maybe there's still some details that still need to be hashed out, and that it's coming very soon. Arizona played in the NCAA tournament yesterday in Sacramento. Unfortunately, they lost. TV reporter there got the same Arizona president on camera, and he went even a little bit further and said, we're not leaving the Big 12. So I don't think you go say that if you think there's a possibility that 3 weeks later you're going to turn around and go to the Big 12.
So, Stuart, with whatever deal they can make, and obviously it sounds like they're going to make a deal, what does that mean long term in terms of where the Big 12, Pac-12 survival of the fittest battle continues on?
I think that, you know, the devil is in the details. You know, what does a good deal look like? Does it mean they're going to get more money, but they're going to have to put most of their games on streaming? Does it mean that, you know, at the end of the day, it ends up looking fairly conventional? I do think they're still going to have a lot of games on streaming, but maybe a lot of those games are on ESPN Plus. We don't know. So we got to see that. I mean, the key to the whole thing, for all this, back and forth about these four corner schools, you know, what's amusing to me, Paul, is that Arizona is the least watched football program in the Pac-12. Colorado has been, I know they have Dion now, but they've been terrible. And so all this attention about them, the two schools that matter are Oregon and Washington. And we know that there was flirtation with the Big Ten last fall. If they ever leave, that's the end of the Pac-10 as we know it now, given USC and UCLA already left. So that's the most important thing. Okay, they're going to announce it, or they're going to come up with some, here's the details, here's the numbers. Is it good enough that Oregon, Washington will sign away their grant of rights for another 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever this deal will be? Surely they want to go to the Big Ten if they can, because it's so much more money. But, you know, Kevin Warren, the commissioner that brought in USC and UCLA, left for the Chicago Bears. There's no leadership there right now. So I don't think anything like that is imminent. And so they're going to have a decision to make. Are we willing to, you know, sign on the dotted line and commit ourselves to this conference for the next several years, even though, you know, deep down they would probably rather get twice the paycheck and go to the Big Ten?
Stuart Mandel with us. Stuart, if you go back to late June when all this news started breaking, I mean, it looked like we were about to see the Big Bang Theory implemented into college football, but really, I don't know, you tell me, not a whole lot has really happened since USC and UCLA. Do you think things have calmed down, or, you know, you mentioned the Big Ten, we don't know who the next commissioner is going to be. Could that start up all over again?
As soon as you say things have calmed down, Paul, is when the next domino happens. I don't do that in this far. I will say this, regardless of whether those current Pac-12 schools go to the Big 12 or not, there's going to be expansion from at least one, if not both, of those conferences. If the Big 12 can't get those schools, I mean, Brett Yormark has been very outspoken that he wants to get into the Pacific time zone. I'm sure he is eyeing San Diego State. Pac-12 probably wants San Diego State. Gonzaga, there's my sense is that Gonzaga to the Big 12, I won't say it's a done deal, but it's getting pretty close, and that's obviously would be huge for their basketball. So there's going to be some movement. It might not be on the scale of Oklahoma and Texas and USC and UCLA, which are blockbusters. But at the end of the day, now that all that has happened and the Big Ten and the SEC are so clearly above the other three, there aren't that many schools out there, Paul, that would bring more value to those conferences. Those conferences now make so much money that, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I think, if the ACC ever blows up, the SEC would go and get North Carolina. North Carolina is not going to raise the value of the SEC football contract for the current schools. Now, Notre Dame would. We know that, right? Florida State and Clemson would. Oregon, Washington, maybe. That's for the Big Ten. That's debatable. That's about it. There aren't enough, you know, anybody who thinks, oh, the SEC is going to go to 24 and then they're going to go to 32. You know, you have to ask yourself, what would be the motivation for that? You know, at some point, you're just adding warm bodies. I think if they could ever get one of those small handful of schools I just mentioned, it would be hard to turn that down. But short of that, they've got a pretty good lineup that they have now.
Stuart Mandel with us from The Athletic. Stuart, there was at least a half a second there when it looked like Notre Dame was in play. Are they off the board right now, at least for the time being?
I wouldn't say they're off the board. They, you know, their thing now is they need to get a new TV deal. Their deal with NBC is so small compared to some of these figures you're seeing for, the Big Ten, $70 million a school is being reported. I don't know the exact SEC number, but it's a lot. I think they make like $15 million a year from that deal, which was made a long time ago. In a couple years, their deal will come up, and they're going to try to get Big Ten SEC money for that fairly small package of home games that air on NBC. And if they can get it or get it close to it, then, you know, it's no secret they want to stay independent. But if it's, we're going to be making half as much as the Big Ten or SEC, then they got to think about joining a conference. And you know, logically speaking, we think if they did join a conference, it would be the Big Ten.
Stuart, finally, a lot of noise coming out of Florida State 3 or 4 weeks ago. Didn't seem like it was going anywhere. I know every time you explain the deal, the grant of rights, it seems almost impossible to believe anything can happen in the ACC. Is that your view?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, Florida State can say all that stuff. I don't know that there's much that I don't think they have much leverage. I mean, are they saying if you don't give us more money, we're going to leave in 2036? Like, that's not really all that imminent. Now, the Pac-12 made that mistake. They, you know, USC used to get a larger share of the revenue. They went to equal revenue, and 10 years later, they left. So, it may behoove the ACC to do unequal revenue sharing for the time being. But, I mean, the amount of money they would have to pay to make that move now, unless they can sue and get it, you know, brought down to is not doable. It's just not doable. So I don't think those schools have a lot of leverage. All they can really do is complain loudly and hope that their colleagues, who have no incentive to take a smaller pie, right? Like, you're Pitt, why would you give Florida State or Clemson more money than you make? But that's certainly, I think, the goal of not just Florida State, but Clemson as well.
Stuart, before you go, it's been a dreary couple of weeks in college athletics with all the multiple police blotter questions, even involving coaching hires. But I saw you were in the arena yesterday in California, saw your alma mater pull a big upset, or at least a big win. And does March Madness at least give us hope that this corrupted sports that we all love so much, I mean, there's still something to cheer about?
Paul, I've always said March Madness is recession-proof. I don't care what is going on in the world, in sports, in the SEC right now with a couple schools. You know, I mean, it was, 2 hours into the tournament yesterday when Furman pulled off that dramatic upset over Virginia. I mean, it's the perfect sporting event. It really is. And it was cool being there. I haven't gone to a college sporting event as a fan in probably 20 years. It was really fun. I got to see the Arizona end of the Arizona Princeton upset as well. So, you know, we like to get doom and gloom, right? Those of us who spend all day on Twitter or sports talk radio for 4 hours. But there is still a lot to love about college sports. That said, I think I'll just go on record on the SEC Network, I guess. I think it's deplorable that Ole Miss hired Chris Beard so soon after those events. You know, I'm not going to get into the Alabama basketball thing. That's been obviously discussed enough. But, you know, just because we love buzzer beaters doesn't mean that those situations shouldn't be addressed. You know, it's sad to me, some of the decisions, some of the morally bankrupt decisions that are being made at some major Power 5 schools right now.
Stuart, let me just ask you a follow-up on that, because we haven't had a lot of conversation. We did show the Chris Beard press conference here live the other night. You said deplorable. I read your tweet afterwards where I believe you said it was one of the most disgusting things you've ever seen. Explain to those who are immune to all the sordid things that happen on the college sports watch.
You know, the way I guess what I would say is, we have seen coaches who got in trouble, even in trouble with the law, who eventually make it back up to the big time. But there's usually some sort of blacklist period, if you will. He was fired as the Texas coach a couple months ago. Read the police report. It's really, really troubling. Now, I'm sure Ole Miss fans will say, oh, he dropped the charges and whatnot. Yeah, I get that. Read the police report. It's not. It's really disturbing. And he's already a head coach in the SEC. It's like nothing happened. You know, I just question how an athletic director in a school in an environment where, you know, he's the leader. He's the leader of the program. He's one of the faces of your school, could read that police report and decide, hey, you know, we want this guy. This guy's going to be our head coach because he wins basketball games. Nothing shocks me anymore in college sports, but I just thought that was particularly egregious.
Stuart Mandel, I appreciate your time as always, Stuart. Stuart Mandel, from The Athletic joining us here on this Friday afternoon. We'll take a short break. Back with your reaction to that and much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
135 Power 5 coaches.
Welcome back here on a Friday afternoon, St. Patrick's Day. Squirrel is up next.
And speaking of St. Patrick's Day, I want to give a shout-out to my baby squirrel. He's 28 today, so the one that lives down in New Orleans, so happy birthday to him. And so you didn't like the flag football idea?
No, not particularly.
I'm with you on that one. I don't know where he was going with that one, but I'm not a flag football fan. But if you've got a minute, I've got a gym update for you. You know, since we last talked, I think Monday or Tuesday, he's called me a couple of times. We've had a few discussions, and you know, I've kind of become Jim's advisor. I don't know. Would you ever have believed?
I hope
that?
I hope you get the money up front.
Well. Pro bono.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You know, but, you know, we've talked a few about a few things, you know, like the lawsuit. I really don't. He was serious about the lawsuit. He's been talking to the top guns in Tuscaloosa. He told me not to say his name, and I'm not going to say his name, but if you took the top gun in Tuscaloosa, that's who he's talking with. And but I advised him against it because, you know, I said, Jim, you know, lawsuits are tedious. Time-consuming, and, you know, he kind of agreed, and I would be shocked if you are faced with a lawsuit anytime in the near future from Jim. So, you know, I'm working kind of little in that regards, and he was a little upset with me. He thought my tone was condescending when I was talking to you last time, but I kind of explained to him, you know, I don't have no issue with you either. I'm on the fence, and kind of like Switzerland, and but I have been stirring the pot a little bit, Paul. You know, a few minutes ago he called me, and I suggested, you know, apparently you and Logan said some things about him earlier in the show. I missed it, about being under a rock or coming out from under a rock. And I told him I would come out with a flamethrower like them guys in World War II did, getting them guys out of the tunnels. So you may be
tunnel rats, huh?
Yeah, so you might be getting called from here soon on that. But,
you know, Squirrel, let me say this. He's just a caller, okay? I don't mean that in a degrading way, but I mean I enjoy talking to people like you and many others. But Jim has outlived his usefulness as somebody that we really. anticipate his calls. They're all the same. They're all,
yeah.
You know, get off my lawn, well, scorched earth, grumpy, cantankerous, hate.
People are coming.
That's not really what we want to be doing here.
Well, you're picking up. You know, y'all are picking on him, calling him a frail old man and all that. And like I said,
no, that was somebody who met him who said that.
He's 6'4", 200 and something.
Yeah, I mean, Squirrel, here's the reason why Jim is never going to file a lawsuit, and you know what I'm about to say, is that to do that means you have to show up. You have to be seen.
That's right.
And he does not want to be seen.
You can't file as Jim from Tuscaloosa.
I know you, Squirrel. I've met you 10 times. Jim,
real.
I mean, I've been to Tuscaloosa countless times and invited Jim to private conversations. And I don't know. Listen, I don't know what Jim's afraid of. I mean, he couldn't be that frail. He couldn't be. It doesn't matter what you look like. It's what's in your heart. Didn't somebody tell you that once?
Well, you're on thin ice, Paul. I'm telling you, right there on the line, man. With your criticism of him, you better watch it. He's gonna come in. He's going. Hey, and the other day when he said something about, well, I'll tell you one thing. He told me he said he would be an imposing presence if he ever did show up, like at the studio or something like that.
Squirrel.
He would be an imposing.
He's never going to show up. Okay.
Well, I know that, and like I said, he was a little upset with you. You know, a lot of people wanted to kick your butt over the years. He was talking about kicking your butt. I said, Jim, that wouldn't be fair. I'll tell you one thing I said, because, you know, me and you are cool. I said, it wouldn't be fair. I said, Paul's really not that big a guy. I said, Jim, put your thumb in your finger. I said, put your thumb and your finger together. And he said, okay, I did. I said, you see that little circle? He said, yeah. I said, that's about how big Paul's arms are.
Listen,
and he started cracking up.
There's nothing secretive about me. I mean,
you can't hide every day. But like I said, just because you see my Twitter handle on his tweets doesn't always mean I agree with the tweet. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like
squirrel,
I said,
let me assure you, I would never advise you what to do, but I would advise you of this, okay? Almost anyone else who has ever gotten close to him has usually been burned.
Like I said, I'm a one-man show. I'm a lone wolf. But like I said, if somebody needs advice, I'm always willing to give it.
I hear you.
Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you. I just don't get too close to the sun there, Squirrel. That's all I'm advising. Susie is in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Paul.
Hey there.
Where's your green?
Susie, I looked around and I did not have, I mean, outside of that green that you wear when you're, trying not to be run over at late at night when you're jogging, I didn't have another green thing in my closet.
Well, you got the green in front of you on the podium.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment on Squirrel just now because I was listening to him as I was doing something, and I swear I was listening to a fast I-Man talking. Did you ever think about how they kind of sound alike?
Yeah, listen, Squirrel. Squirrel is already in trouble with the person he's trying to advise, because you don't discuss private conversations with that guy.
Oh, absolutely not. But he sounded like I-Man to me.
A little bit.
And
there,
one
there
other,
is a similar.
Yeah,
they're, both from the, they're both from the South, Susie. Don't ever forget that.
Oh, that's true. But he talks faster than I-Man does. But
well,
that's
every,
what stuck,
way,
I know.
I mean, robocalls talk faster than I-Man.
Is Logan on the bracket?
Logan didn't make the bracket because it was already made out. But Logan, he should have been.
Well, he's putting a bid in.
Oh, yeah. Logan's had the best week of anybody right now. I mean, he's in every day.
Oh, I know. When I listened to him then, I said, boy, you're bucking. You're bucking to be put on there, Logan. So good for you, Logan. Keep trying. But just don't take my place. That's all.
Well, Susie, you're in the first round against Jeff from Columbus. And I have to tell you, I like your chances.
Well, thank you. Haven't heard from Jeff in a long time, I don't think, because I keep trying to hear Jeff as I kind of can't remember. I know
I think, Monday, and grumpy as ever.
Oh, no. Grumpy doesn't do it. But I hope you have a green beer tonight, and God bless you on St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd like a green beer right now. We head to the break. It is Friday afternoon. I mean, Friday afternoon, St. Patrick's Day. Is that the NCAA tournament? What are we doing inside? That is the question I have. But we will stay here for a couple more hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Friday afternoon, Lucian is up next. Hey, Lucian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing?
We are well, thank you.
Good. I had the crud for the last week or so, and right before I got it, though, Spencer Hall did a call-in on your show, and then a whole bunch of people came down hollering about him. I just wondered what his status is.
I think in the aftermath of the Jalen Carter situation, he made some comment impugning the credibility. In fact, he said he didn't trust the police. And
I heard that part of it, And the way I heard it was that I think he was referring to initial police reports.
Correct.
And, you know, colleges and police have always had a bad time getting along with each other. But
you're right.
You've got a great sports show, and we ought to talk about sports. If people want to call in and talk about hate, let them talk. Let them call Hannity or Rachel Maddox.
Listen, I totally agree with you on that. And we all have interests in politics and ideology, but there's so much of that around. It's permeated our lives in ways that really has never been before. And I'm not interested in talking about it. And when somebody calls in and starts bloviating about how they feel, that's fine. But you're right. This is at its root a sports show.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, there are two colors for the Irish. There's green and there's orange. So up the orange. Have a good day, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Continued with more phone calls here. And John is in Indiana. Hello, John.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Paul, I got a couple things if you got the time.
Sure.
It won't take long.
Go right ahead.
Paul, on another network, they were talking about how Bo Jackson might be one of the greatest athletes of all time, what he did in college and the NFL and Major League Baseball.
Right.
They had one statistic that was funny. It was neat. But in high school, they said he stole 90 bases out of 91 attempts.
Mm.
And the other guy said, well, the catcher who threw him out should be in the Hall of Fame. And the other guy said, he might have stumbled in between the bases, but they were just talking about how great an athlete Bo Jackson was.
Well, I had the privilege of not only covering Bo Jackson when he played in high school briefly, because I arrived there right as he was finishing up high school, but his entire career at Auburn. I was at his first minor league baseball game in Memphis, and have known Bo since then, and played golf with Bo, and I don't think there's ever been a better athlete. And I know that that's a very open-ended conversation, but it's not my opinion. I remember interviewing Dick Schaap once, who covered sports and wrote. He did Bo Jackson's biography, or autobiography. He said he's the greatest athlete he's ever seen, and many others have supported that.
Paul. So you can't see yourself
Bo, you still John, you still there?
Yeah, you can't see yourself sitting at a table with Pat McAfee and Desmond Howard then.
I cannot, John. I appreciated that comment the other minute, but I have no interest in being on that show.
One other thing, Paul. You know what? You would look good today sitting in that chair. On St. Patrick's Day would be a green Notre Dame football jersey.
Well, I'll tell you what, John. If Notre Dame wins another national championship in my lifetime, I might do that. But they haven't won a national championship in many people's lifetime, considering it's been 1988 since the last one.